referendum. With your host, GMC.
Yes, a good evening, or well, good something, or morning, or well, good something, and hello from a hot and moist studio ref space in The Hague. Well, hot and moist, the kind of hot and moist that makes you want to shave all over, but you don't, because you know it will itch like hell. And well, anyway, I'm today not with me is Oki, and I don't know why. Maybe he's been busted because it's a long story. I'm looking at a broken window currently at in Studio Ref Space, and that's because we've been burgled in the hackerspace, which is kind of a sucky thing to happen. They threw a rock or whatever through a window. Luckily, we were just installing an alarm system, and I had the studio equipment with me on my trip to Vienna. But yeah, so the alarm system was not finished. We only had 5-6 windows done. And they chose one of the windows that we did, so that's nice of them. People came into action, and all the equipment was saved, so that's nice. But that means I'm alone in the studio tonight. There are people in the space, but they are discussing Ruby and RAID arrays, and I don't know what. Well, what are we going to talk about tonight? As promised, for a while now, I am going to look back at Blipfest. There's something nice. A project that I want to introduce, which is called OpenCTRL, Open Control. It's about space automation. We also will have a short look at Book Crossing, what it is, how it works. But first, VoidCon, which is a nice party that's going to take place. Actually, when is it going to take place, Elias?
It's going to take place at 16th of July, so everyone's welcome.
That's pretty soon already. And you're from We Void Warranties, the hackerspace in Antwerp.
It's Void Warranties, indeed.
Oh, without the we. Okay.
Without the we, indeed. It was just how do you say URL joke.
I thought it was
the
there
w-
in the
w-
beginning.
WWE, just we dot voidwarranties.be.
That's great. So, you've been around for about a year, I guess. When was the exact date that that the space was opened?
To be honest, I don't know. No, in fact, it started out in a bar with just a few people. Then Kurtz, one of our members, proposed us to use the bunker. So, in fact, it's how do you call it in English? A useful house, where we were able to open the space. I don't know to be exactly okay. which date.
I don't either. I do remember that I went to the opening, which was quite cool. You had a lot of talks and workshops and demonstration. And as I understand it, July 16th, it will be more of that, right?
It will be quite similar. So we will have two rooms, in fact. So last year it was only one room, and we used the. This year we're planning to do an indoor room, the room we used last time, the bar, in fact. And then we're thinking about putting a big tent outside, and this will be the second room. Also, like last year, there will be a barbecue, and we will have some sandwiches in the afternoon.
Ah, that sounds good. I remember the barbecue. That was a pretty awesome barbecue. I mean, I thought we at RefSpace knew how to throw a barbecue. But, you showed us how it should really be done.
It was quite creative indeed.
It was. I think this time you're also planning to accommodate the non-meat-eating hackers that are planning to come.
Indeed, because this last time there weren't that many vegetarian dishes, so yeah, indeed.
which is not too surprising at the barbecue. But have you already got some interesting vegetarian dishes? Or
oh, wait, I'm looking at the website. Everything's written down there. Oh, in fact, if I can find it. I've had the work page. So if you need any more information, you can go to the website, we.findwarranties.be. The schedule is already online. Also some practical information about how to get there, what the prices are. So here do we have catering.
And that's pretty interesting. Can you tell me a bit more? I mean, there's going to be talks and demonstrations. What about the program? What's it all about?
So in room one, we have we're starting off at 10:30. Then it will be a lunch and a small introduction. The first talk will start at 12 o'clock. This is Ivo from the Magenberg, and his topic is what grows in my garden. Then in the second room, we have Femke Schnelting. She's going to talk about open source publishing. Then starting from 1 o'clock till 2 o'clock, we have Matthias Geniaars about some security in the cloud. Then starting at 2 o'clock till 3 o'clock, we have For the Kids Science Show. So this will be probably done in the tent outside. And in the other room, we have Peter Frank Smets, and he's going to talk how to build your own arcade machine, which is pretty cool. Then from 3 o'clock till 3:30, we have a small pause. So everyone can enjoy a beer or a snack. It depends what everyone wants. Then at 3:30 till 4 o'clock, see, there's still a small mistake. We have you, GMC, Creative oh, wow. Commons license. Then from 4:30 till 5:30, we have Tom Peters talking about his ROV project.
Sorry, his what?
ROV, so remote operated vehicle. So I think it's a small robot or something. Which is I kind of like it. It's more mechanical and how to build a robot, and he's going to do a small demonstration how to control it. Then at what do we have? 4:30 till 5:00, we have a small pause, and then the last talk we have at 5:00 till 6:00. This is Steve Bunn, how to customize a Linux distribution.
That's a pretty busy schedule.
Indeed, it's a little bit bigger than last year. This year we also had some attention for the kids. So if you want to bring the kids, just do so. We have a science show. They can play outside. There's a big yard where they can play football. So it's pretty chill, how do you say, atmosphere. It's not like a big conference. It's a small, how do you say, meeting among friends, in fact. So it's, yeah.
Very cool.
You went there last year. It's not that, how do you call it, not that strict like BrewCon or any other big conference.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed it. I mean, the content and the people, it was real fun. I remember our opening party. We just had a party and decided, oh, wait, we didn't have an opening party. Let's make this our opening party. So that's a bit indeed less planned than what you are doing. Yeah, so you've been around for a year. Looking ahead, the next year, do you have any particular plans, a direction you want to take or activities that you want to explore?
This is, we had a big discussion about this, and what we're thinking of is buying a lot of heavier equipment, so we'll make a, you can call it a little fab lab. Huh? So we are able to make small robotic parts, also do some electronics. So we would have a big drill. How do you know how it's called in English? Colombor. Also, we are thinking about buying a laser cutter, a fräse. So all the materials you need to work on metal and on certain hard plastics.
Pretty cool. And a laser cutter maybe?
Maybe, if we have the money.
Yeah,
that's the thing. It's a small space. We don't have that high of, income money. Eh? But yeah, so, we'll get there.
Cool. Well, that's good to hear. Ambition is the first step, and then the rest is just a result of that. And so at the end, there will be a party with some music again?
There are coming two DJs. Weren't you going to play? And then I think Let me see.
Well, Frankie, I think. Yeah,
yeah, Frankie, indeed.
That's actually going to be my debut as a DJ. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Cool.
I'm actually planning to do two sets: one with more CC music, like rock and jazz, and the other one with some good old 8-bit tunes. Which actually brings me to the next item. But before we go there, one last time, July the 16th, people who want to know more can go to
we.voidwarranties.be. If you click on the link on top, you have a link. Let me see. It's called go to the Voidcom page, I think, just below the main title.
And yeah, you can sign up there and find the program and check out how to get there. And well, you should just come. It's going to be fun. I know that for sure. Ilias, thanks for talking to me. And well, good luck in getting the details organized.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so my debut as a DJ, I said 8-bit tunes, which brings me to the next subject, which is we're going to talk a bit about Blipfest. But of course, we can talk about Blipfest, but then people will say, well, you're only talking, not playing music. So why don't we start with a little nice music from Blipfest? I have here part of the live set from Seatrix. We'll be right back. Yeah, so the idea was to talk about Blipfest here with Frans from Engbaas. But of course, as these things go, I get his voicemail. I will just try while I'm talking. Because actually oh, look at it. He's busy now. Initially, they were supposed to be here in the show, but apparently some laptop crashed. Oh, well, that's some waiting music of my PBX. It's nice, isn't it? It's also Creative Commons. But I guess that means we won't be talking about Blipfest that much. I can tell a bit about Engbaas, because at the moment there is nothing going on with Engbaas.
Hello.
Oh, hey, hello, this is GMC speaking.
Hey there.
Hey, so...
It's Klazin.
Sorry?
It's Klazin.
Ah, it's Klazin, the other half of the dynamic duo that's producing Engbaas, right?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Excellent. Glad I got through.
Hi.
Yeah, so we're live in the show. I was going to ask you about Blipfest, which was in New York. You went there 19th till the 21st of May?
Yeah, that's true.
And you also... I mean, how long have you been there, actually? Did you go before? Because I understood there were a lot of pre-parties and after-parties that were not to be missed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went there for 9 days, mainly for Blip, but we stayed a couple of days after because we wanted to enjoy New York, of course. At least I have never been there, so I wanted to see it. Yeah, there were a lot of pre and after parties. We saw only one pre-party, and we lived at lots of after parties, and yeah, the whole thing was a lot bigger than the actual Blip. So yeah, it was kind of amusing.
Very cool. And so there was lots of live performances. Mm-hmm. Were there any Dutch artists as well?
Any Dutch artists? No, this year not so much. Well, actually, the only Dutch artist was on the open stage of one of the pre-parties at the Pulse Wave party. That was one day before Blip, and there was an open stage. And we traveled together with Men of Mega Bart.
I think
you still know him.
I do.
And he applied for this open stage, so he did one song on this open stage, and that was actually the only unofficial Dutch artist there. So.
Okay, but yeah, at least he did so. I heard they have some new material as well, but sadly, we are not going to hear that tonight, but sometime in the near future. I'm just curious, what kind of hardware, what kind of instruments are people using at Blipfest?
Well, I'm not a very big expert on the hardware, but there was a really odd instrument I saw one artist playing. Cetrix, one of the artists performing at Blip, he made an instrument himself, and he called it the Jatari. And his Jatari was made of an Atari, and he attached to that was a bunch of pedals, like effect pedals and a joystick and some other stuff, and it looked kind of like a guitar. And he played it like it was a guitar.
Wow.
And produced this very aggressive biting sound, which was actually really cool. So I think the main thing I remembered. But yeah,
cool.
I've seen a lot of Game Boys and yeah, a lot of fake bits, a lot of laptops.
yeah, okay. Yeah, actually, yeah. The guitar, I just played a piece from Cetrix before I called you, and that was actually the part where we used this this instrument, which I think
oh,
it
awesome.
Sounded it sounded pretty cool indeed. That's something to remember.
Cool.
So that was a highlight for you. It was all on radio as well, I think.
Sorry?
It was all broadcast on radio as well.
Yeah, I guess so.
There was a local radio station, and well, they made recordings of
it. I think there were several. There were several radio stations recording at that time. Not all live, but some were.
Oh, that's cool. And I'm just curious. Yeah. The venue, how big was it? How many people did come to this event?
Well, it was pretty big. Especially the venue was really big. I think so. There were 3 days. I think every day maybe 300 or 400 people visited. I think. Yeah.
Wow, that is quite a lot, actually.
Yeah, it is, and it's also really international. So people from all over the world go and visit Blip.
Wow, cool.
So yeah.
I wish I could have been there.
The only amazing. It was amazing. You really missed something.
Well, thank you for rubbing it in. Hey, so what's in store for Eindbaas the next month? Because you're doing these parties in the Netherlands with the chip tunes, and well, it's really they're great parties. I went to my first before the summer, and I'm eager for more. Is there more?
Yeah, there is. There's lots more. Well, this summer months are a little bit quiet for us. Only a couple of DJ sets here and there. But there's a big one coming up in September, and that'll be on the 30th of September. And yeah, we already got our full lineup ready. And
wow.
I'm looking at Frans if we can tell this.
because it's not on the website, so we're getting an exclusive here.
The official release of our names. Well, it's gonna be. It's gonna be the biggest Eindbaas we've had so far, because we are having a new venue which is a lot bigger. It will be in the Echo instead of the Accu. And the Echo, yeah, it can hold a lot more people. It has an amazing sound system, and it will be perfect for Eindbaas.
Cool.
So that's a really cool thing. And our lineup is amazing. In New York, we learned a lot. We've seen a lot of great talents, and we have got our wish list that's so long we had to make a choice. So we are going to invite over Kovacs from Sweden. Do you know him?
Wow, cool. Well, yeah.
All right. And the other guy will be a Bitshifter from New York.
Wow. Now there's a lineup. Now there's a lineup to look forward to. And that's in September, what
date? Yes. The 30th of September.
The 30th. Yeah. I have to make a note of it. I have to be there. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Looking
forward to that one. And yeah, we saw Bitshifter, of course, at Blip, and he was amazing. I didn't think he would be that good, because I only thought, Bitshifter's a large name and he does a lot for the chip scene, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But live, he is really, really good.
Wow,
so,
yeah.
Everything you hear about him is true.
I did listen to the recordings because they are available on freemusicarchive.org. I'm not exactly sure, but if you look for Blipfest in the search box, you will get there. You will get all the recordings. There's a pretty awesome set by Format as well.
Cool. Yeah, I've heard it.
Yeah. Well, you were there, right?
Yeah, Format was really good.
Wow, that's something to remember. Yeah. Well, excellent. Hey, it was nice talking to you again. And I'm really looking forward to that next Eindbaas.
Yeah. Call your friends.
Yeah, well, just to warm up a bit, I have something else. Artist that played at a Blipfest, Henry Homesweet. I don't know if you remember his performance.
Yeah, it was wild. It was madness. He was the last act of Blip. It was the final act, and the crowd just went mental.
It was it was a brilliant. It went in all directions, and let's just listen. We can talk and talk. I will see you in September, and before that, because we are planning a next edition of Eindbaas Radio, basically.
Oh, nice.
But more on that later. For now, Thank you, and good luck with getting that Eindbaas together in September. And well, enjoy the next track. We'll be right back. Yeah, that's pretty nice music, I think. I've listened to the whole set. This was just an excerpt, of course, because the set itself is like 30-40 minutes. We will listen a bit more to it in the background. Meanwhile, I will move on to the next subject. Yeah, I was thinking about paying some attention to the phenomena of mind hacking. You know, there's a lot of ways you can hack a mind. You can do it with pills, of course. There's the neuro-linguistic programming, social engineering things. There's also like Zen Buddhism. Well, it's many people think it's a hippie thing with, I don't know, auras and all. But it's not really. It's like psychology, but not in the funny way we Western... not in the funny way the Western scientific tradition regards the human mind. Just as a black box that can be studied from the outside, but more, well, reflection, looking inside, exploring the thing as you are emerging it, because, well, but that's a bit besides the point. One of the things that goes with the territory is, well, getting it a clean environment, a quiet environment, uncluttering, getting rid of stuff you don't need, both in your head, but also in your house, for example. So, well, practicing some of this, I was looking at my bookshelves and I thought, wow, am I ever going to read it? I mean, I had hundreds, literally hundreds of science fiction novels that I read and liked, but what's the chance that I am ever going to read them again? There's maybe 3-4 in a signed edition somewhere that I want to keep. So, yeah, I thought let's make a clean ship and throw all those books out. Or, well, actually, should I throw them out, Moon?
Well, you could, or you could throw them in someone else's direction, so wow, someone can catch them.
And how does that work?
Well, you could use book crossing, which means that you would register them on the site, they would get a number, a unique tag, and then you could follow them as they travel around the world.
Wow, and this is called book crossing, right?
Yep.
Wow. And the site is... what is the site? Well, it's probably pretty obvious then.
Yeah, it's bookcrossing.com.
Wow, so, and yeah, there's also a .nl version of it?
There's a .nl which explains a bit in Dutch. We made that when there was no Dutch translation yet, but now there is a Dutch translation, so people can actually use the site in Dutch or Finnish or Spanish, French, and other languages are coming up.
Wow. Why are people doing this?
Well, for all kinds of reasons. Some people see it as a game, a fun game, like a treasure hunt, because you can not only leave books around, you can also search for them. Others say, well, I'm not going to read them anymore, so I might as well give someone else a chance. And others do it to allow their books to reach out to others, change the world, change some minds on the way. There's all kinds of reasons.
Cool, yeah.
But mainly it's just fun.
And and where do people, I mean, where do the books go? Where do you leave them?
Well, I leave mine in telephone cells, bus stops, places like that. Or on public bookshelves, which is like a safer place to leave a book because it's not going to get rained on and people can go there and search for a book. And it's like hunting in a game reserve.
Okay, but there's also something like book crossing zones, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was talking about. It's usually a bookshelf in a public space where anyone can go and just, well, pick a book and grab it, take it home.
Excellent, yeah. So I recently started one of these book crossing zones in RefSpace, actually. So I put a couple of my books there. I'm not nearly there because I've got shelves and shelves full of books. But there's also one at Hack42, right? The hackerspace that you are with.
Yes, that's right. We have one in Arnhem at the hackerspace too.
Cool. Are there many hackerspaces that you know that have a book crossing zone?
Not many that I know of, no.
Okay.
I think in the Netherlands we're the first, and well, a second one would be most welcome, I think.
Yeah, well, we have one now, so
Good.
I think it's a great idea for hackerspaces anyway. I mean, it fits so nicely with the team, right, of sharing knowledge, and it makes perfect sense to share your books as well, because there's knowledge in. I don't have only science fiction books. Can you tell something about what is there a specific kind of book that you can find, or
Well, I like to put books out there in the hackerspace that may appeal to the people who go there. So I might put some classical science fiction on the shelves, or books with a technical subject, non-fiction too, of course, but also something just, well, anything that's has science in it could be interesting. If it's around about Darwin, about its voyage of the Beagle, it might appeal to people. But the bottom line is, you never know what's going to appeal to people. So I mainly put scientific books in there, but also books that are not scientifically related at all.
Nice. So just a general mix.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how did this all start?
Well, it began in 201. So for a website, it's really ancient by now.
201.
Yeah, 2001. Sorry.
Ah, okay, I'm thinking that's really ancient. I didn't know they had websites back then. But
No. I can remember seeing a website once in 2001, and it wasn't Book Crossing, but it started by someone who thought, hey, there's a website for tracking dollar bills. There are websites for tracking all kinds of things, but what's the fun in dollar bills? Can't we track something that's actually fun or enriching people's lives? So he thought of books, and he started this in the US, and he never even had the idea that it would take off internationally. But it did.
It did indeed. It's quite fun to do, actually. I only started participating in this really seriously because I had to get rid of all those books. I think
a few
weeks ago, and people told me you can sell them on Marketplace or eBay or whatever. But yeah, that's a lot of trouble, you know. You get some emails, and so
yeah, there's that, and you'll get a pitiful small amount of money for them, and you'll never run into any surprises.
Absolutely,
like really great stuff. I left a book at the supermarket at the Aldi. And it turned up in Bangkok 3 weeks later.
Wow, that's amazing! Yeah. I'm putting some books in Spacey, but I have so many there's not enough room here. So I live quite nearby The Hague Central Station. So I just walk down and put 8-9 books on a day in various trains. So I'm curious where they will all end up. I mean, there's trains that go to Schiphol and all kinds of regions of the Netherlands that you've never heard of. So it's. You know, I'm excited to see where they end up, and I'm checking my email, and has anyone found my book yet? So, yeah.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of books that don't write home quickly. It's like one or two out of every 10 you'll hear from really quickly, like within 2 or 3 weeks. The rest of them may take longer, and some probably will never be heard of again at all. But well, that's a risk you have to take.
Yeah, you have to wonder. But they will probably keep giving me messages for a while, because as I'm saying, I've got hundreds of books out. The chances are that some will be found.
Your chances are good, and your books have chances to be found several times.
Indeed, yeah. Because
some make several hops, and you hear from them like every couple of years, which is really fun.
That's fun, yeah, because there's a sticker in each book, right, with a special Book Crossing ID.
It has a number and a bit of explanation.
No, so you're pretty involved with this whole Book Crossing thing, because I was looking at the bookcrossing.nl site, and there's a whole lot of custom labels that you made, and posters,
right,
and I don't know what. And actually, you also, there's a Book Crossing convention, right?
Yeah, I helped organize that. There's one every year on the date of the birthday of Book Crossing, which is April 17th. And, it was our turn in 2010, and we did it in Amstelveen. Well, we said it was Amsterdam because it's easier to understand for foreigners. But it was great. We had such a good time.
Sounds good. But what happens at the book on? Do you read books? Do you talk about books? Do you talk about where your books went?
We talk about books, food, life, the universe, and everything. There's always a good chance of meeting the founders or the people behind Book Crossing, as they tend to come over and be there at the convention. There's some lectures, there's games, silliness, pub crawls. Cool. All kinds of stuff. And lots of books being swapped. And also generally a release walk. So
okay.
That's like 50 people walking together and releasing books as they go.
Cool. Just spamming a city, so to speak.
Yeah.
That's excellent. Well, how many books do you have out in the wild?
I think it's about 6,000 now.
Wow, that's a lot of books.
Yeah, but I have it easy. I get them from a local charity shop.
Okay. Well, that's okay. They can't sell them anymore. They just...
Well, they don't like the idea of sending good books out to be recycled, so they rather give them to us, so we can give them away.
You save them from being destroyed. Oh, excellent. Yeah. Well, it was fun talking to you. The first time I heard about book crossing actually was at a hacker conference, HAR 2009, where you also had a temporary book crossing zone.
Ah, yeah, that was fun too.
Yeah. So I think you should keep that up, and we should get more hackerspaces to get involved in this scheme. Because, well, members of hackerspaces travel among various hackerspaces, and books can go somewhere that way.
True, and we can swap the contents of our shelves if they stay in one place for too long, and we can visit each other, and yeah.
Excellent. I will bring some books when I'm over in Arnhem again at Hack 42.
Hey, that's fun. That's good.
and take some with me, maybe, if there's something I haven't read.
Yeah, you should. You should.
Hey, thanks for talking to me. Well, have a nice evening.
Thank you. Oh, sorry. I hope to visit your OBCZ soon. When I get a chance, I'll drop by.
You're always welcome. Thanks. So I'm up actually for a bit more Henry Home Suite. I like the music, so I'm just going to play another piece of his set at Blipfest in New York. We'll be right back. Okay, I'm once again cutting short on the performance. We can't play the whole thing because there's not enough time. But you can go to freemusicarchive.org and look up Blipfest in the search box. And sure enough, you will find all these great performances, and they're quite enjoyable. I mean, it's the cutting edge of chip tunes. It's well, it's brilliant. Meanwhile, I go to my last subject. Show is almost over again, which is actually something that's inspired by current developments in RevSpace, my own hackerspace. Because, well, we have this alarm system, we have a nice sound system these days, and there's a lot more we are working on. The thing is, all these devices are currently communicating with each other and the world in quite a random fashion. So we thought, well, we need some unified networking in our space that just ties them all together and enables them to communicate. And, well, we were looking at things, and one of the projects that popped up is open control, and well, one of the people that's involved with this is on the phone right now, King of DOS.
Yeah, well, hello.
Cool.
Hey. First of all, let me state that it's not open control, but open CTRL, because open control is some other project which is, of course, not finished, and only one guy is writing it. So,
ouch.
Yeah, we could help him, or we could create another better protocol. But anyhow.
Well, the not infinity syndrome, maybe. But okay, open CTRL. I will keep note of that. Who are open CTRL?
OpenCTRL is, we are currently with a few hackerspaces, yeah, exactly two, are writing software to, oh wait, where are we? we are a bit, the hackerspace is BitLayer, hackerspace Dukes of Hesse.
Okay, so BitLayer
in March 2000.
Yeah, so BitLayer is in Amersfoort, right? And Dukes of Hackers is actually a space that's still starting up. It's like a Google hackerspace. It's in eternal beta.
Indeed, indeed. And it should be located in 's-Hertogenbosch, but yeah.
We'll see, we'll see.
We'll see.
So, yeah, how does it compare to other protocols? Because basically, what you are building is a protocol for home automation or, well, any location you can use it in a company or, indeed, a hackerspace.
Yeah, indeed, a hackerspace, indeed. We've been searching for usable protocol, exactly as you have been doing now for your project. And, yeah, most protocols that we find didn't meet our technical or ideologic requirements, so because they're not quite effective, and they're always saying you have to do this for the hardware. No, we don't. We want a protocol that's not how do you say
that? Not tied to a specific hardware problem, platform.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And most protocols that are so-called open, that requires some to pay some annual fee, or it requires a registration fee, and just to get a developer ID. So that's just strange.
Okay.
It should be open, you know.
So what are the just to get an impression? What are the protocols that you're up against, basically?
Ooh, so many. You've got KNX, I believe, that's from the European Union, and they say that's open, but yeah, in my opinion, it's not. And yeah, there's so many protocols that should be open, and yeah, it's always the same story. So we decided to write our own protocol, just something like it's a little bit based on TCP stack, I guess.
Okay.
Just a little bit. But it's totally different to compare to other protocols, because we don't specify any hardware requirements. We say this is the protocol, and just do anything with it. If you want to run it on wireless, yeah, that's fine with us. with a protocol, you can run it on CAN networks or RS-485 or whatever.
Okay, yeah, so RS-485 is one of the, well, is actually the main candidate we are considering, and I've seen it used in the CCC clubhouse in München. They have a lot of RGB LED spots, which is also something you are working on. But just let me ask, because you still need to register as a developer, right, for the OpenCTRL?
No, it's not required. It's an optional feature. The developer ID is it's in combination with a board ID, so gives a type number. It's not a serial number. So if you want automatic hardware detection, yeah, there should be a mechanical of a system that you can search for those devices. And if one developer develops some software and you plug it in some total in another hackerspace, yeah, you just want all specific details in your database or whatever to match with that device automatically.
Okay,
but it's
so
not
it's
required. If you want to put all things in the database manually, yeah, it's fine by all. It's just a method that can be used to help people.
Okay, so that's basically a registry of kinds of devices that there are, and to promote interoperability.
How do you mean?
Well, because you can see, oh, I see this device, it's an input device, and but of course, I mean, does the protocol define how certain, for example, you have a lot of different input devices, I can imagine.
Exactly, and if you want to configure all that manually, have a nice time, and if your database crashes and you want to reconnect with, let's say, 20,000 devices, yeah, how much time would that take?
Yeah.
The auto detection is an option to be used by developers.
Well,
that's not mandatory.
Convenient. But so if I plug something in, the database that you're maintaining will know if I registered it, what capabilities it has, and then other devices will automatically know. Oh, that thing can switch on a light, and that thing is a volume control knob, and that thing.
Yeah, but you still have to connect them together so they work together. But the database can see that it's some type and light switch or an input output control or whatever. It doesn't matter. The database, as long as the database knows what type of input or output it is, then it's fine for the system.
Cool. Well, I've been looking a bit at the site. It's still very much in development. But can you tell me something about the stage that the project is in?
Actually, the software was running, and it should be running now. Yeah, I should kick some people. But no, it the software is, I think, at the main stack. Now maybe 75% or something. Then that should run again if they completed. Yeah, they're changing now, making some make files and doing some other stuff, and they're reconverting some things they created. So if we've done that, then it should be compiling again. And we had some communication going already, so it should be. It should be ready in, I think, maybe a month or two. Yeah, it's now summer and so.
Cool,
maybe
yeah.
Vacations.
Yeah, things slow down a bit.
But so, maybe a few months or something.
Okay.
It should be completely operable.
I guess.
But in beta stage, you can still, it's already communicating. So it should be possible to communicate if you want to do that.
Yeah,
it should be working
already. Who knows? RefSpace is going to experiment as well, so that might spur development. It's a great test bed here because we've got lots of devices to control, lots of different inputs, and settling on RS-485 is one thing, but that just specifies how you connect your wires and how the electrical signaling is going. And this protocol is meant as a layer on top of that, right? Or on top of basically any protocol. So it even enables a PC to communicate with a microcontroller, to communicate with, I don't know, a Zigbee module or whatever, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's we've based it on a half duplex communication, so you can use it on wireless networks with only one channel available. So yeah, RS-485 is half duplex, and yeah, most cheap ass hardware is half duplex. So if you want to use something cheap ass, yeah, RS-485 is quite usable for that.
Cool. Well, I'm gonna. If people want to know more about this project, where can they go?
To the website. That's openctrl.org.
Wow. Well, that's clear. And well, I will be keeping an eye on it, and I will keep you posted about how we fare at RevSpace. And yeah, thanks for talking to me about this. And well, until soon.
Okay. Ah, thank you for calling, and I talk to you.
And well, with that, I think I will have to conclude the show because time is running out. The music in the background, that was actually the live set from Format. And it was an excellent live set. Also at Blipfest, of course. And I think we should just listen to that. And I will play it until the end. And then. But I will say goodbye now. Thanks for listening, everyone. The next show will probably be from... the next show I will be doing will be from Finanfort, the famous location for the CCC camp, where, of course, Signal will be... we will be broadcasting under the name Binary Voice, which is the event radio station sponsored by HXX. And, well, you will hear a lot of hosts that you know from Signal... right on that channel. Details to follow. We will just broadcast via this stream. Thank you for listening, and well, a good evening, morning, afternoon, whatever. Bye bye.
We'll be right back. Hello. All right, how's everyone doing? Okay. Now this is a little embarrassing, but my laptop broke this morning, so I only have the songs that are in the Blitzer. There's nothing else on my hard drive. I know. What? See, by my timing, I did 35 minutes. Well, I can knock it up quick if you want. I was being serious. My laptop did break this morning. I only have the blip set. That's all I've got. Honestly. Someone just say play Paper Dolls again. You really want me to do that? It is really true, I only have those songs on this drive.
We get signal, main screen turn on. You're listening to the radio program about hackers.